Our scripture reading today is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. This is the word of God. Now, good morning, church. Today is Father's Day. So I will wish a blessed Father's Day to all the fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, and even the fathers-to-be. Now, I'm proud to say that I am a father of two. I have two children. Shana, my daughter, is 2 months old, and Josh, my son, is 4 years old. You know, right now, my wife and I, we are still adjusting to having two kids at home. At times, it can really be a trial. Now, some of you with two or more children will understand, and perhaps you will laugh because I'm struggling only with two, while you might have survived three, four, or even five. But my parents, they stay next door to us, so we do have some form of help here and there. Yet every now and then, the grandparents, you know, my parents, would do or say something which I don't agree with, and I find myself responding or reacting in a rather unchristian-like manner. You know, my body language or my words would be harsh and even at times condescending. And I catch myself usually too late. Now, I know it does not reflect well on myself as a Christian or as a pastor. And I know it does not reflect well on me as a father or as a husband. What kind of Christian testimony am I living up? Now, as we stay at home more, you know, adults and children alike, things can become a lot more stressful. You know, there's a lot more tension, and our behavior easily become a lot less gracious. So what kind of testimony are you living out to your family members, even to your neighbors today? As we have looked at Paul's exhortation to good and sound doctrine over the past sermons, today we want to look at how Paul exhorts good and right relationship within the church. Let us pray before I continue. Almighty God, open our hearts to you as we listen to your word and grant us wisdom, understanding, and discernment as we learn from you. And may all that is from you, all that is of you, take root within us, while what is not of you be scattered into the winds. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Now, the book of 1 Timothy has a lot to say about doctrine and godliness. Over the past weeks, we have heard sermons on discerning and teaching sound doctrines. We have also heard about the importance of godliness and good character in leaders and the importance of praying for others, you know, whether within the church or outside of the church. But all of this can only happen when a person, you know, a Christian, make the conscious decision and make time for it. To train in godliness, as Pastor Wen Tsong shared with us last Sunday, to be trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine. Good doctrine was important, still is important, because in the church of Ephesus then, there were ongoing heresy, you know, false teachings that confused and misled the church. So Timothy is called to teach what is right and to correct those who are wrong. Timothy was also to look for and appoint leaders for the church, leaders with good character and faithful to the word of God. So today we continue with the book, with the letter of 1 Timothy. As read earlier, I will be focusing on just two verses of chapter 5. Now here, Paul exhorts Timothy to look at the people in the church. The passage just before, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 16, can be seen like a transition. Paul moves from the topic of sound doctrine and godliness, you know, almost into a topic of how Timothy should conduct himself in the church and to teach others. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. You know, this is followed by the exhortation, you know, kind of specifically for Timothy, ending with, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5 is an exhortation both to Timothy and to the church. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Now, in order to be an example to the church, Timothy must be able to live out the doctrine that he is teaching. He must be able to demonstrate in his speech, his conduct, you know, the love of God, his faith in Christ, and purity and holiness. Timothy is to conduct himself as the best possible testimony to the church and to the people around him. He must be able to build good and right relationship within the church. So let us take a look one by one. You know, first Timothy is told, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Do not rebuke. You know, the Greek word used here, epilexis, appears only once in the New Testament, right here. It means to chastise, to reprove, to strike at. You know, in other English translation, the word is also translated as to rebuke harshly, to be harsh or impatient, and sharply rebuke. It actually suggests a severe and harsh talking too. But to do so, you know, especially to someone older, shows a lack of respect and a lack of appreciation for age and experience. So Timothy, who is seen as someone youthful, faces a tough situation in the church of Ephesus. Even though he is appointed by the Apostle Paul to lead the church, Timothy is actually coming into a church that's already established, a church with its own local leaders and elders. Yet Timothy is called to lead, and also to admonish and correct some of these leaders and teachers, all these who are likely older than him. So Timothy is exhorted, reminded to treat these older men with full respect, even when he has to rebuke and correct them. Be gentle, be kind, be respectful. Now, second, Timothy is to treat the younger men as brothers. You know, this means that Timothy is to consider them as family. The younger men are not his employees or slaves. They are not part of a club or a social gathering. Timothy is to look at them and to look after them like a shepherd. Now, this is similar to what Peter told the elders of the church in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Timothy is not to look at himself as higher in position or greater in status over his peers, or even those who are younger. He's to nurture them, he's to encourage them, especially in the faith. And then in verse 2, Paul exhorts Timothy to treat older women as mothers. Once again, there's this aspect of family. Timothy is to treat all the older women in church as with his own mother, to treat them as how he would treat his own mother, to take care of them and to show concern for them because he is the spiritual leader of the church. Now here I'm reminded of Jesus speaking to his disciple in John chapter 19, verse 27. Behold your mother. You know, in other translation, it says, here is your mother. You know, Jesus speaks to his disciple. And from that hour, the verse says, from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. Now, of course, we do not have information on what happened after that or how Mary was taken care of. But what we do learn from here is Jesus showing the importance of family, of the disciples, taking care of one another, taking care of the family of disciples. And Paul himself had this same attitude. You know, as we can see in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, where Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he talks about Rufus and his mother, whom Paul writes affectionately, has been a mother to me as well. And finally, to treat younger women as sisters in all purity. Now, the importance of purity has already been mentioned in the earlier chapter, chapter 4, verse 12. Now, Paul stresses to Timothy that he is to view the younger women as sisters of his family. Now, this is a call, a clear reminder against viewing them with lust or sexual impurity. And yes, Timothy is to love them and to care for them as a family, but he is to exercise sensible and proper restraint and full purity. Again, in Romans chapter 16, Paul would also address Phoebe as sister, and he told the church to welcome and help her in every way possible. So it appears that the use of brothers and sisters to describe fellow believers were common even then. Now, a side note that we can take from verse 2 is that while Paul had already written about the differing roles of men and women in church leadership earlier, 1 Timothy chapter 2, here he clearly sees women as having equal value and deserving of equal care and dignity within the church. Paul does not view women as weaker or lesser. No, in fact, Paul will follow in chapter 5 how Timothy should care for the widows in the church. So why did Paul include this section on how Timothy is to treat the members of the church, and why should he treat them as he would a family? Now, from 1 Timothy chapter 1 to chapter 4, we see that Timothy is charged to look at and handle, you know, three groups of people. One, the false teachers. Two, the overseers. And three, the deacons. Three groups of people. You know, first, the false teachers. He says, charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Now, these are people who have been teaching in the church. You know, they must have been teaching for quite a while, since their teachings, though false, has already influenced the church and its members. These are not people who just come teach in the church once or twice and then leave. These are local leaders who have been teaching. The second and third group are to look at the overseers and the deacons. Now, these are people in the church who desire to serve, and there are qualities that must be evident in these people in order to be appointed. I think one common thing about these three groups would be their age. They are likely older, or they are likely of a certain age group, older than Timothy's or at least his peers. While the text doesn't explicitly mention their age, we can draw the conclusion from what is mentioned about them. You know, the false teacher, they teach in church, and to be teachers in the church, whether then or now, they would need to command certain authority and have significant knowledge of God, of Jesus. And even though this false teacher would turn away from the true teachings, they were at least once seen as qualified to teach. Now, the qualification for both overseers and deacons also includes being the husband of one wife and to manage their household and children well. Now, maybe in those days they got married early. Maybe they had children at a younger age compared to our current times. But it is safe to conclude that Paul is not talking about members who are really young. A certain age is implied for all three groups. Yet Timothy is exhorted, is charged with going to them and to correct these false teachers. Now, for those who aspire to serve, Timothy is to examine them, encourage them, appoint them to be overseers and deacons. Now, it is not an easy thing to do. You know, when you speak with someone older, more senior than you, it is tough. You know, to speak to them and then to correct them is tougher. You know, to speak to them, speak with them, examine their lives, look at their testimony, and then ask them to serve in the church, it's tough too. And at times, there will be those he might say, you are not qualified. So how can Timothy gain the respect and trust of those who are older than him, even though he is appointed by the Apostle Paul? I think this is why Paul exhorts Timothy in chapter 4, verse 12. Again, this is actually where Timothy is mentioned as young. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Later in verse 15, he reminds Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, for Timothy to be able to teach good and sound doctrine to come into the church and to correct false teachings or wrong teachings in order to be convincing and to gain the respect and command of the church. Timothy must be able to set himself as an example and be consistent with what is good and sound. You know, when you look at the leaders in our church today, now some of them you know well, some you might not have spoken even three sentences to. During AGM, when it is time to elect leaders in the church, whether it is the elders, deacons, or ministers, you might not know them well, but you can trust in the wisdom of the church leaders who nominated them. Now, those who are nominated are those who have set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, their testimony in this church, in this family, has been tested and proven. Now, granted, every one of us have our failures, have our weaknesses, but we are all sinners saved by grace, set apart for the work of God's kingdom. And these leaders have proven themselves as good examples. You know, not perfect, but good. And they have demonstrated the desire to train for godliness and to persist in what is good. I think last Sunday, Pastor Wen Tsong gave us a good exhortation that we should train ourselves for godliness. Because just like a poor physique, a person with poor spiritual health is quite easily found out. His or her speech and conduct will reveal just how much the person knows and follows after Jesus. Now for you, you might not be called to be a pastor, an overseer, or a deacon. But what Timothy is exhorted to do is what you are also called to do. Set an example of yourself in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, and persist in it. Because you are a follower of Christ, you are a recipient of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are a recipient of God's grace and mercy. And by God's grace, someday you might serve as a leader in our church. Someday you might serve in other areas as the Lord leads. So my point here is that it is important that we be able to bear good testimony to one another within this family of the church. It is important that we demonstrate a life that honors and follows Jesus. We demonstrate this to one another so as to build one another up. Without a good and right relationship within these members of the church, within the members of his church, Timothy's teaching on good and sound doctrine will not be effective. It will not be meaningful. So having said all that, what does it mean for us? Now, there's this song I learned when I was a youth, Common Love. Most of you would know this song. And the verse goes like this. In his family, we can meet each one's needs. We can light each one's path. We can bear each one's grief. As his children, we can comfort each care. We can build each one's faith. We can work, we can share. And then the chorus goes, a common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we are weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word. A common love for one another within the church. A common love within the family of Christ. A love that helps us in our journey as a Christian. A common love that helps us in our time of grief and help us in our faith. A love which reminds us that we can depend not only on God, but also on one another, and that there is always hope. That is what a church should be like. A family that loves and cares for one another, that encourages one another to grow in Christ-likeness. It is not just about knowing good and right doctrine. It is about living out this good and right doctrine, knowing God's love and demonstrating God's love to the people whom God loves. Now, we cannot just talk and teach about how God can meet the needs of others, or just guide or how he guides the way or bring comfort to those who are mourning without actually being God's hand and feet to help meet the needs of those who are suffering, to help guide those who are lost and to comfort those who are hurting. In this season, in this pandemic, what can we as a church be doing? How can we encourage one another and help one another? So what the Apostle Paul called Timothy to do in the church of Ephesus is also what we should be doing in the church. Now, you and I, we are followers, we are disciples of Jesus, just like Paul and Timothy. We are fellow members in the household of God. Now, right now, you might be sitting at home, participating in the service online. But I'm sure you can remember sitting in this sanctuary together with the rest of the AMKPC family. Now, there are people to your front, your back, left and right. These are your family in Christ. They are your spiritual family. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to 50, you know, when Jesus' mother and brothers wanted to speak to him while Jesus was teaching, you know, somebody came to tell Jesus. And Jesus replied, you know, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then he stretched out his hand towards his disciples. He stretched out his hands towards you and I. "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You and I, we are part of this family. So let us strive to follow Paul's exhortation to Timothy. To those who are older than you, treat them like a father or a mother, worthy of respect and honor. You know, to those who are your peers or slightly younger, you know, treat them as your brother or sister. Encourage them, support them, and walk along with them. And to those who are much younger than you are, treat them like you would treat your sons and daughters. Love them, care for them, nurture them. Help them to see, to hear, and to experience God's amazing love. Now consider how this can happen in your cell group. You know, if it is already happening, we praise the Lord. Or maybe you can show more care and love to a CG member. Maybe you need more patience or be more encouraging to a fellow member. Or perhaps it is your turn to encourage and bless your CG leaders. If you are serving in an area of the church, consider how you can learn more from those who are older or how you can nurture and teach those who are younger. You know, take time, listen to one another, whether to your peers or to someone older or younger. And don't be shy or embarrassed if you need help with getting online or getting equipment for Zoom meetings. And do exercise patience and have compassion if you get to teach someone about Zoom meetings or when you're explaining what Facebook is, Instagram, or TikTok is. For someone who's not familiar with them, it is tough. And there will be times when you find it hard to have a good and right relationship with somebody in church or even at home. But the exhortation is to work at it. Practice these things. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this. Do it again and again. If you fail once, try again. Try and try again. Pray and ask God to help you. Now, I began by sharing a little bit about my relationship with my parents at home. I want to end a little with this sharing about my relationship with my father, since it is Father's Day. Now, I don't talk a lot with my father. I honestly don't have much memory of us doing anything together or having any heart-to-heart talks. You know, so my relationship with my father is what some might call dysfunctional. But in spite of everything, or the lack of anything happening, or the lack of anything happening between us, I do know that he loves me. I do know that he loves the family. He just does not know how to communicate that love to us, at least not in the way I would want him to. He's old school. You know, he just provides food on the table, clothes for us, school fees, etc. That is his love language. So as I worked on this sermon, you know, there were times when I was disturbed. My spirit felt quite down. You know, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. You know, I don't think I have ever been encouraging to my father. I think I might have rebuked him a few times. So this kind of struck me as I was preparing. And my reflection as I look at this passage and as I ponder over the good and sound doctrine, ponder over what Jesus teaches as a whole, I think God wants me to simply love my Father. Not love him in response to what he has done or has not done. God wants me to look at him, to look to him, to look to Jesus, and to learn from him. To learn about how to be a child, how to be a parent, how to be a brother or sister, to be a leader or a servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, some verses 1 to 3 reads, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing." So even if I can teach like the Apostle Paul or the best preacher in the world, if I have no love for you, you know, for this family in AMKPC, if I have no love, then whatever sound teaching and right doctrine does not matter. So church, you know, brothers and sisters, let us encourage one another as a family should. You know, this week or today, consider how you can be an encouragement to someone as a brother or sister, as a parent, or as a child. And I pray that your motivation will come from love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Thanks be to God. Have a blessed week ahead. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the power and grace that saves and delivers us from sin and death. We give thanks for this new life, this new family we have in Christ, and we pray, Lord, that we learn to love one another as you loved us, that we learn to bear with one another, care for one another, and to build one another up. And I pray that, Lord, we can all be a good testimony for you and to each other at home or in the church. Help us, Lord, so that we, even in the midst of this pandemic, can become a vibrant church, growing and influencing one another towards Christ-likeness. This we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.